This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158, however you're taking us in. Let me start that again. However you're taking us in, I appreciate it. So does Matt. It's Gil Alexander. That's Matt Brown right there. giving you the wave. Ahoy, he greeted me with this morning. I love that. We get tweets beating the book. Patrick Kelly. Matt Brown didn't invent the fix for, hey, you got to change this in your phone, but he did perfect it.
Dude was sweating it for sure. Matt Brown was a hot client there for a while. So, like, he did, you know, the fact that he was about to dump him didn't go over too well.
Mike Zhang. Has the spicy wonton oil ever dripped on your shirt, Gil, at Din Tai Fung? Yes. It's not fun. Tough to get out. Tim Bowers. Every year I'm so pumped for football that I forget how much overreaction there is, like Dan Orlovsky and Chase Daniel going way overboard on Ty Simpson's first game. I think this is why week one is so awesome, because everyone is so ready for actual football. Oh, I'm so with you.
Yes. You walked in saying that, actually.
Yes. That was before today. We got on air, I was like, I'm ready for actual football. And Torch D, the one who put the satin in your panties. Love hearing some Broncos love for Matt Brown. Certainly will be a Super Bowl year, having Sean Payton not calling plays. Will be the difference maker. Davis Webb, in all likelihood, is a savant. Ooh. So many new play callers in the NFL. I don't know. Listen, Sean Payton, part of this is, let's be clear as to why this is. First of all, the Broncos, yes, offensively middling, right? For a couple years now with Sean Payton. But this is because Davis Webb was flirting with other jobs. And so the Broncos, in order to keep him in-house, are like, here, you take this. So that's the main thing of it. I just don't believe it lasts all year. I think Sean Payton is just going to be like, I really need to call these plays. And finally, he'll just burst.
It certainly, if they struggle for like two games in a row.
Of course.
Then it's just, you know, I decided to take the reins back.
Yeah, I need a good and different look.
Right the ship here with all of this. But you did bring up, and granted, it wasn't with Lamar, but we now have some sample size with Declan Doyle as the play caller there for Baltimore. And, you know, just basically the same age as Lamar, but even though it wasn't Lamar under center, he was able to navigate with the guys that he had out there and look pretty good from an offensive perspective. Again, not to overreact to one preseason game, but you do, when you see some sort of success with your non-starters out there, seems like the guy kind of knows what he's doing. We'll see. But I mean, that was kind of the big thing for me heading into this season with the Ravens. It wasn't the talent on the field and it wasn't Lamar. I like Lamar a ton and all this. It's just, new head coach, new play caller that's your peer. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's like, hey, man, I want to do this. And you're like, nah, bro. You know what I mean? It's like, you're your same age.
Kind of,
you know, it's like, he's your same age.
No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Before we get back to baseball. So I teased this at the top of the show. So I got to get to this finally. You ever sing a song a certain way and you are, sometimes when you sing certain pop hits, right? You're not sure what the words are. You're not maybe a lyrics person, and you're like, you just kind of mumble your way through that part of the song. But then there are certain songs that you've lived with for your entire life where you are convinced these are the words. Okay. So this came up this weekend, and I just I have to throw it out to you. In the 1982 hit by The Clash, Rock the Casbah.
Yes.
You familiar with this song?
Absolutely.
Okay. Who Matt Brown?
I'm not Kelly Piblin.
No. Who Matt Brown, quote, In the chorus, who, quote, don't like it, unquote. In the 1982 Clash hit, The Clash hit, Rock the Casbah, who in the chorus don't like it?
You know what? That's one of the things that I've always mumbled through.
Okay.
Because that, it isn't clear.
I'm putting this out to listeners because
like,
I will tell.
You know, it's I've always kind of like just
without,
done that.
Without looking, I want people to, I'll actually give you what the story is. So my brother's in town. It comes up on the hotel, whatever, music. And he starts singing it, and he starts singing, Sharif don't like it, Rock the Casbah. He says, Sharif. I said to him, I go, because he's my brother, I'm like, what the hell did you just say? He goes, what are you talking about? I go, what did you just say before Rock the Casbah? He says, Sharif don't like it. Sharif don't like it.
I always thought it was the queen.
So I go, what? I say, it's Charlene. I say, it's Charlene don't like it. He goes, what are you talking about? It's Sharif. So I threw this out to maybe like 10 people. Let me just give you some sample responses. Mm. My buddy Tyrone says, oh, he, first of all, Tyrone, as cocky as ever, as arrogant as ever, he goes, it's Sharia, like Sharia law. He goes, it's Sharia. Ask me anything 80s rock. I go, well, how much did you wager? Because you lost it all. It's not Sharia. Okay? Because my brother was right. It's Sharif. So he said Sharia. Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, said Shari. Joe Pita, I don't even know what Joe said. What did Joe just say this morning on this? He said that this was, by the way, I would have sworn on a Bible for 44 years that it was Charlene. Don't like it. But of course, Sharif makes more sense. Joe Pita says Shireen, which is different from everybody. And then my, I think my buddy Tommy said something entirely different as well. He said she don't like it. So everybody had a different answer. But again, I would have sworn for 44 years. I mean, I would have lost so much money betting on this that it was Charlene. But of course, my brother was right in the end. It's Sharif because it's about some fictional king that didn't like in a repressed country that didn't like rock and
roll.
That's
what I thought was the queen. I thought no. Like the queen.
I am curious if anybody else is flabbergasted by this, the fact that it's not Charlene or that it's actually Sharif.
I never heard Sharif. So yes,
never.
That never hit my ear.
Because we were just doing it off air with the Rihanna song. Yes. Was it Monster?
Yes. If you haven't done this one, go in and just say, type in Bebe Rexha Monster lyrics. And because she actually wrote the song for Rihanna. And then she explains what the actual lyrics are. And you're going to go, huh. And then you'll hear it afterwards. But like, yeah, I mean, huh.
I'd have lost so much money. So much money.
Interesting.
AL wild card race. Yankees in the catbird seat. In terms of the wild card race, they're still trailing the Rays in the AL East race. Red Sox after their ridiculous 27-3 run, 21-4 of that in the month of July, don't we know? They're still, you know, chilling. Five games over the third place team in the wild card. Red Sox inhabit the number two position. And right now it's an AL East sweep. But this, of course, changes daily now in terms of the third wild card position in the AL. The Orioles, the Birds, the O's, 61-63 right now would be the number three wild card team. And then you see the Rangers a half game back. The Blue Jays and Tigers after getting swept by the White Sox this weekend, a game back. The Twinkies are 1.5 game back. I mean, it's a complete logjam, and they're all sub 500. By the way, when all is said and done, we could have a sub 500 division leader in the AL West. That's a whole nother story. If I said to you, Matt, you must make a make playoff bet or a miss playoff bet here, what is the bet you make?
Yeah, so I did bet the Orioles, and it's kind of maybe I'm just chasing my tail because I also bet that I have an over win total that's not going to get there on the Orioles unless they go on some sort of ridiculous heater or something like that. But I think that this team is finally coming around to hitting the ball like we kind of thought that they would at the beginning of the year. Granted, one of the most disappointing teams in all of baseball, there's no question, but they're hitting the ball now. Pete Alonso, if you take away the first 2 months of the season, has looked way more like Pete Alonso. Some of these guys are getting a little healthier. They are starting to hit the ball better, and I think they have just enough pitching to get it done. All these other teams, I think you look and there's just warts on the teams, right? I mean, Mariners can't hit the ball. You get this Guardians team that's up and down all over the place. It doesn't look like Jose Ramirez is right for them. It seems like if they're going to make a run, you would need him to be right. The Twins, I don't think anyone's really taken seriously for whatever reason. Tigers have kind of come back down to earth a little bit after the trade deadline with them. The Blue Jays, you get now Guerrero, even though he's having a terrible season, he's on the got a concussion. He's on the IL. I think there's just warts on all these other teams where it's kind of like maybe the Orioles are actually peaking at the right time. But that's about it. I don't love any of the teams.
The thing about this, Cleveland, and they've had this now for at least a month and a half, have the easiest remaining schedule in all of baseball. Aggregate win percentage of opponents at 452. The Mariners have the second easiest remaining, 471. The Blue Jays have the third easiest remaining at 480 in terms of aggregate win percentage of opponents. And Matt, I don't think any of that matters. Because I think all these teams, as you pointed out earlier, they all kind of stink.
Yeah.
They all kind of stink. This is going to be one of those years. Again, we may have a division winner. I said at one point we could have two division winners that are sub 500, but the White Sox appear to be proving me wrong on that. But we could have one in the AL West. We certainly look like we could have a wild card team in the AL that's sub 500. It's just that kind of year. And so, therefore, to me, the best bet still remains I don't know if I'd make a make-miss playoff bet. Remember, my Tigers bet was for this month specifically. I didn't jump aboard either the make playoffs or the division as others did. I still think the Yankees to win the pennant still is the best bet on the board, because I think once they get everybody back, Judge being the headline of all that, they are by margin the best team.
Played catch on Saturday, so that is a step in the right direction.
Played catch in coming back.
Bit
of controversy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Played catch. So again, they're looking to get him back. Bellinger, you know, should be back. By the way, Hilliard Ramos that they got at the trade deadline has not hit at all for them. And
you're
so,
welcome, Yankees.
Yeah, like has not hit at all. So he can only go up. I think he's gotten like two hits as a Yankee.
Didn't run out of grounder the other day.
Yeah, it's like literally he's got like two hits as a Yankee. So it's like he can only get better. You know, I mean, that can only go up. So you'd like to think that, yes, I agree with you. The Yankees can only be better than what they are right now.
They enjoyed Camilo Duval, and now they're enjoying Hélio Ramos. What about in the NL? We talked about this earlier. Cubs inhabit the first wild card position. They're as close to the Brewers as they are above the outside teams looking in the playoff picture. Phillies and Padres deadlocked for 2-3 with the Diamondbacks one game back. And then you have the Marlins and Cardinals still hanging around.
I don't think the Marlins and Cardinals are actually real contenders in this, either. Though I keep saying that about the Cardinals, and they just continue to linger around 500 like all season long. So I've been wrong about them a ton. Padres and Diamondbacks are going to be super, super interesting. There's things to love and things to hate about both of those teams. And I think it's the team that we just said, you're 1 5-game win streak away, 1 5 out of 7 game win streak away from really kind of pulling away. And is it going to be the Padres or going to be the Diamondbacks?
And every week we can come in on a Monday because of what you just said and have a completely different narrative week to week. Yankees pennant, for me, the best bet on the board still. Coming back, Wes Reynolds. It's a numbers game right here at Visa. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Do not forget that our college football betting guide is out, shepherded by the great Adam Burke. Our pro guide includes, or I should say our college football betting guide includes, Matt Eumanns' preseason top 50, previews for all 138 FBS teams, best bets, conference champs from hosts and experts. You can sign them now for as little as $9.99. By the way, VSiN Pro subscription also gets you the NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football guide, and all of the above. But again, just $9.99 or lock in a full year, save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We've said it before, of all of our betting guides, whether that's your favorite or not, it certainly feels like it's the most important.
It's the one that you're going to get the most out of.
Yeah.
Because you can't follow all these moves and you can't whatever. I bet you people didn't even know how many teams were in the FBS, much less that all these teams were changing conferences and all the things like that. I mean, it's too hard.
The Mountain West and the Pac-12, completely different. I want to bring in my next guest before I read the tweets, because all the tweets are in response to what I asked you earlier. Wes Reynolds joins us now. And Wes, by the way, not only part of the glue that holds this whole operation together, but Wes is a bit of a musical savant, a musicologist. Can I call you that, Wes? Is that allowed? Is that permitted?
Musicologist. I like that title.
Yeah.
Yes.
Science of music. All right. In the 1982 Clash hit, Rock the Casbah, who in the chorus, quote, don't like it? Who don't like it?
Sharif don't like it.
He knows
thinks
too.
It's not kosher.
Yeah, he knows too. And by the way, it makes complete sense. For 44 years, I thought it was Charlene. We get tweets, Chris Heath, Sharif, Ryan Hyatt. Great. Regarding misunderstood song lyrics, next thing you know, Gil and Matt are going to tell us Steve Miller didn't sing Big Old Jed Had the Lineup. I don't know that. Todd Sailhoff always thought and sang She Really Don't Like It. Figured the Clash wanted you to just put your own spin on it as who you are thinking about. Spence, they made up Sharif based on Iranian hardline leaders because they didn't like rock music in the early 80s. Sharif is in the video, too. Yeah, that makes complete sense. And Easy Breezy, of course it's Sharif from The Clash. Props to your bro for recalling the liner notes with lyrics. The Clash were one of the few at the time that included lyric sheets with the album. I, again, I'm flabbergasted. I'm amazed that everybody here on Twitter, we're getting a way higher hit rate on Twitter than with all my friends who almost to a man, I think I have one person who knew it besides my brother. 8 out of 9 others said no idea.
Ryan referring to the Jet Airliner song, Big Old Jet Airliner.
Oh,
Big Old Jet
what did I
Airliner.
Say?
No, he was saying
oh,
that people
because
he's saying that people got
it.
Not getting the lyrics correct.
Wes,
well, to get like triple the tweets, you'll need to do the Manfred Mann Blinded by the Light. Always confused lyric.
Wrapped up, yeah.
Revved up like a deuce.
That's right.
The
yes.
other thing.
That's right.
Yes.
Wrapped up like a deuce. Then Jimmy Buffett had a salt and pepper shaker or something like that. There was another thing there. Wes, Scottie Scheffler, did you have him this weekend?
I did not, but had the foresight.
Yeah,
I
buddy.
I had the foresight, or I've tried this several times before, hadn't worked, but went in the winner without market because we on Long Shots thought, okay, this guy's probably going to win this tournament. You know, he's coming close to winning. He's not played poorly. He just hadn't won since like late January. So yeah. We had some interest in the end. If you didn't have Scottie Scheffler, who was going to get second place, and it was Siwoo Kim, fortunately, that cashed at 25-1 in the winner without market. So it was a race between him and Sam Burns and a couple others up there, and Siwoo Kim gets outright second, 8 shots back.
Now, why were you clapping like that when he said he didn't have?
Because it was Kelly and I both had Sam Burns.
Yeah.
If my guy was not going to win, I needed the collapse so at least Wes's guy could get second. And Sam Burns goes out and bogeys 18 to give Wes the outright second in this, so he didn't have to chop it up with Sam Burns. It was great. I'm sitting there rooting for my guy that I had this ticket on to bogey this hole. I'm like, come on, man. Like, come on. You've been playing terrible all day long. Continue playing terrible.
For those who missed it, Scottie Scheffler hadn't won since January at the American Express. We had made a big deal about it on this show that he hadn't won. But he closed with a 4-under-66 for an 8-shot victory. Man, when he finally won, he won big. It got a little dicey early yesterday, but the largest margin in 68 years of the TPC Southwind. He had a 61, by the way, in the second round. That helped a tad. But it's the 11th straight time he converted a 54-hole lead into a win, the 21st victory of his career, all since 2022. Just going through his career stats here. Ends nearly 7 months without a title during a season that featured 5 runner-up finishes and nearly 7 months of close calls. Oh, by the way, he wins $3.6 million from the prize fund and clinched an additional $23 million in bonus money for being guaranteed number one in the FedEx Cup through next week's BMW Championship. And now, 2 victories, 5 runner-up finishes, 5 other top fours in another stellar year that until yesterday was marked by his lack of winning. I'll just throw it out to you guys. Where is his place now in sort of modern history of golf or the whole history of golf?
Well, clear best player in the world, I think, right now. And, you know, the comparisons to Tiger, I think, get really a little bit much. There's just no comparison for what he did. But one thing that is similar is that both of those players mentioned are great front runners. And you saw it this weekend. I was on with Matt on Saturday on Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN. And I was like, man, this guy's such a good front runner. You know, it's not over, but boy, it feels close. And he proved to be a great front runner, to be the only guy double digits under par and 17 under and win by 8. So he's the clear best player. And we were talking about the fact that player of the year is kind of still up for grabs because it's not been as convincing as it's been in years past. But he's the player of the year, as far as I'm concerned, even with no major championship. He's been the best player. The stats are all there. He's like number one tee to green, number one strokes gained total, high up off the tee, high in putting, high in approach. Like every major strokes gained statistical category, he is up there near the top of the heap. So I think maybe Sunday made it very clear that he's the favorite for player of the year after that dominating performance.
I'm a little more okay with the Tiger comparisons because of the depth of the fields that he's going up against each and every week. Like Tiger teed it up against 4 or 5 other guys every week. This guy's teeing it up against 35 guys every week. Like they can actually go out and really contend and win on any tournament, any course, any layout, anything. And he just continues to, I mean, you mentioned the outright second, 11 top fives. I mean, like, you know, 11 top fives over the course of the season as well. Yeah. So it doesn't matter the course. It doesn't matter the playing conditions. It doesn't matter what it is. 11 top fives.
I say that about tennis, too. Like, if you take women's tennis, Chrissy and Martina, right? They were so much better than most other players. Maybe there was, like, two or three other players that could compete. And now it's you're beating 15 to 20 other girls when you win these tournaments. So it's akin to that. Wes, long shots. Wes, Matt, Kelly, tomorrow again? Or is Kelly off this week?
No, Kelly's donezo.
Kelly's donezo. Mm. Kelly's off this week. Long shots.
Fired.
I suspended him for this week. You could scan the QR code on your screen for more if you want to download and subscribe to Long Shots, the greatest golf podcast there ever was. Wes, you have a baseball play for us today at the Great American Small Park in Cincinnati. What do you got?
I do. And speaking of St. Louis, where the BMW Championship will be this week at Bellerive, the Redbirds take on the road. It is a doubleheader there in Cincinnati. And I went in the first game, I went with Quinn Matthews, who is not a regular starter in the rotation, but went 97 pitches last time around. And he's up against the Reds team, my Cincinnati Reds, who are dead last in WRC plus against left-handed pitchers. So it's not like Matthews is a high-end starter, but it's 13 and a half outs. That means basically you're trying to get him to go five. And that's what I think the plan is there, because you never want to use your bullpen as much in the first game. If you watch the rare instances where we have doubleheaders, you're always trying to extend that, unless it's a designated bullpen game. You're always trying to stretch that starter as far as you can because you know you've got him at night and you've got another game. So Quinn Matthews over the outs here as the Reds continue to play horrible and have now pretty much fallen out of the NL wildcard race.
Mm. This comes up, so I just want to put you on the spot here, Wes. The Dodgers in it's a swoon. It's an out and out swoon here. But we always sort of figure, right, in previous years, and it worked out last year, yeah, they don't have to be the number one seed. They only care about the playoffs. They'll win the World Series, no problem. Does this feel different to you? Does this feel like this is a little harder to actually right the ship from, and maybe we should slow the roll on just penciling them in to a World Series appearance and title, especially if they don't avoid the first round?
Yeah, I think it very well could be different, Gil, because it's not just one thing. Like, it's easy to point at Edwin Diaz and, you know, how sketchy he has been in the closer role lately. But they're not hitting. They're flat out not hitting at all. They made all these moves, obviously, to shore up the starting pitching staff with Skubal and, you know, able to move Sheehan and Robleski eventually out into kind of middle relief. But they're not hitting at all. And Dave Roberts finally like called him out after the game yesterday.
Yes.
So we'll see if they get the bat rights at Coors Canaveral here in this three game set.
And you were saying, Matt, off air, Kyle Tucker is literally not hitting at
all. Yes. Over his last 19.
Yes. Literally not hitting at all. Wes, always a pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
You got it, fellas. Thank you.
The musicologist, Wes Reynolds, right here on the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt's got some baseball plays today. That's next. Coming back.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is very exciting. VSiN on the clock for the second annual Pro Football Futures Draft. 13 VSiN hosts and guests face off in a fantasy football style snake draft hosted by the great Dustin Sweetelson. Pardon me. And every pick doubles as a handicapping breakdown you can use. Win totals, division winners, player props, and stat leaders. Last year's competitors are all back for round two, joined by three newcomers stepping into the Futures Draft room for the first time. Former wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson is in this draft. Comedian and sports commentator Nick Bakay, love Nick, and the guru John Hansen all joining this year's Futures Draft. Don't just watch it, profit from it. Tune in Thursday. That's this Thursday, August 20th, 5 p.m. Eastern, only on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And by the way, we now have the draft order. The draft order of this. Defending champion Patrick Maher gets the number one pick in the draft. By the way, these were all selected under the auspices of a very formal accounting firm, I'm sure. Stormy Bonatoni with the number two pick, I should say. Paulie Howard, number three. And then I, sir, have number four. I'm in the four hole. I think I was fourth last year, too, maybe. Jensen Lewis rounding out the top five at number five. Tim Murray with the snake at 13. And I assume he gets 14 then after that. So that's where we stand with that. I did not do well in this last year.
I guess my invitation got lost in the email.
You didn't get it?
Yeah, it didn't come through.
Were you in the baseball one?
I guess. Do we know where we even sit in any of
I think things? I did okay in the baseball one.
I killed several different players. Like both of the guys in the Cy Young get hurt in like week one, like blowout elbows, like totally donezo. Like I killed players. Sorry, all the players that I drafted, like I killed you all.
I know I had Kevin McConnell for AL Rookie of the Year in like 9-1.
Yeah.
So I think I'm treading water. I can't remember what my other plays were besides that one. I don't know if I did great.
All I remember is both of my Cy Young guys like went down the first week. Oh, and yeah, I was just like, okay, well, I'm done.
I think I had Scooble, AL Cy Young. Not so good. Yeah. But this one I ended up last year. The thing is, the draft comes to you, right? Like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. You have a strategy. And remember, there are categories. Win totals, division winners, player props, and stat leaders. But the draft comes to you, and I ended up, I did not intend for this to happen, but with multiple, and I do mean multiple, like three or four, Cincinnati Bengals bullish picks. Burrow, Chase, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, it didn't go so well. So anyway, defending champion Patrick Maher, and good on Patrick, by the way. He's got the number one play. That is on Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern here, only on VSiN. We are still searching for Matt's invitation in the mail.
Yeah, it's an email. It lost in the email.
Oh, in the email.
It's in the cloud.
Check your spam folder.
It's probably in the cloud. It's probably in the cloud.
Well, check your spam folder.
I can swoop in, take the 15th pick or whatever it is or something like that. You know, it's fine.
A couple other people here on Twitter with the lyrics. James Lloyd. My father played drums in a band that played ZZ Top. Give me all your loving. Took us forever to figure out what was saying, like a boomerang, I need to repeat. Keep in mind we were using the LP. There's a lot of these. And Joe Noons wants Wes Reynolds, musicologist, to know that Bruce Springsteen, not Manfred Mann, wrote Blinded by the Light. Both versions sound like the word you referred to. Yes, wrapped up like a... Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, you got some baseball plays for us today.
And it is true. Like, it is. Kind of putting a bow on that conversation that you asked... Wes there at the end.
Oh, yeah.
Gil.
The Dodgers.
So you get into a short series, right? And like you go up against the Brewers, right? And they can throw Miz, Logan Henderson, and either Kyle Harrison or Dustin May, whoever's like going, you know, whoever's throwing best for them. Or like that's the 1-2-3. You get into a series against the Padres, and it's like they traded for Casey. So you can go Casey Mize. Joe Musgrove, by the way, is coming back. He'll be back in a week to 10 days. He's been dominating down in his rehab starts and all of that. Then your third... Just take your pick. You've got Giolito is going to come back. You got Michael King already in the rotation. Robbie Ray you traded for, all the stuff like that. Like in short series, if you can go with those three against this Dodgers team, I'm sure I understand they're going to go Scooble and Snell and whatever, but and Yamamoto. But
yeah,
that's okay. The Miz is going to give up two runs tops. So like you got to score three. You know, I mean, you got to score three, yeah. And that's it. You win that game. You know, Logan Henderson. Low key, been one of the best starters in all of Major League Baseball, and again, probably only got to score four runs, you know, whenever he takes the hill. So, not like years past. I agree with you 100%. Not like years past, where it's just let's crown them.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead.
Whatever
and just,
they're doing now doesn't matter.
Let's just crown them.
Yeah,
I don't think that is the case here.
Yeah, we'll do a heat check on AL Cy Young and NL Cy Young and both MVPs here coming up, which has to do with Miz, which has to do with Shohei and all that. Shohei's not having right. I mean, obviously he's not pitching anymore. Not having the offensive season. It's small sample size baseball. It's at the core of the famous Billy Beane quote about Moneyball and about his Oakland Athletics, who would get with the small payrolls, with the low payrolls, would get to the postseason and then would crap out. And what was Billy Beane's quote? He goes, my shiz, he didn't use that word, right?
Yes.
Doesn't work in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And what he meant by that was, I can sit here and plan for large sample size baseball and I will overcome negative variance. But there you, in a best of five, or in this case, a best of three, if you don't get out of the first round, or if you don't get out of having to play a first round series, anything can happen. I mean, let's say if you we've replaced a playoff team with the Colorado Rockies, even they could beat you in a 2 out of 3 because it's small sample size baseball, right? So that's the thing you need to avoid. Remember the wild cards where it was the one-off game? I used to love those, by the way. Talk about the cruelest ending to a season.
Yes,
hey, you've played 162 games. Enjoy this one.
Yeah.
Enjoy 163.
Have fun. Yeah, when that broken bat flare cost you your whole season, you know, it's just like, really? Yeah. Okay, cool.
Thanks. Vegas Vice wants to know, when are we discussing the lyrics of Louie Louie? Apparently that's an old school lyrical thing, too. I didn't know that. That's before my time.
I mean, I guess that's another one of those where you kind of go, and you start like kind of just like mumbling along a little bit.
I'm just going to say it one last time. I would have sworn on a Bible it was Charlene.
Yeah. Okay. I just... Animal House. You should always think of Animal House when you hear Louie Louie.
That's true.
Okay, so Tigers and the Pirates. I've got the over in this one, the over of 8. You look at this pitching matchup, and it is absolutely atrocious. So Framber Valdez has been one of the biggest flops ever. I mean, golly, you paid him $1 jillion to come in here and give you a 4.26 ERA on the season. But here's the deal. It's even worse, right, when you look at his smaller sample size. Last 5 starts for him, a 4.97 that's backed up by a 4.57. His last 3 games, a 4.44 expected. By the way, Gil, the biggest thing too about him is, and this was a little bit of a problem for him always, but he was able to get out of it because he did have at least some swing and miss stuff. Walk rate is over 10%, but his K rate is down to 16%. So it's like, if you're putting guys on for free and you can't get out of it by striking someone else out, that's how you end up in these bad situations. Also, nearly 50% hard contact against him over the last 5 starts as well. And then Majimski wasn't really, you know, they didn't want him in the rotation. They moved him into the bullpen for the Pirates and need him now to start a few games for them. He's been atrocious since he came back out of the pen and started games. 6.75 ERA over the last 5, backed up by a 5.67. His last 3 starts, a 9.72, backed up by a 7.43. Expected a 55% hard contact against for him over the
say that again
55% hard
that
contact
is,
against
that is, to quote you, that is ungood.
Yes, ungood. And then he's another, it's basically the same two guys going against each other. A low strike, high walk rate, low K rate doesn't equal good things. And so even though these two lineups haven't been tearing the cover off the ball or anything, I just love these pitchers to give it up. So I took the over 8 there in that one. And Greg already talked about it. I mean, him and I on the same play here. I thought it's just too short of a number for the Braves. I understand it's on the road, but Martin Perez has actually been pretty good over the last month and a half for this team. And Bailey Ober has not. Bailey Ober very likely to come back down to earth here against this really, really potent Atlanta lineup. He has bad righty lefty splits as well. And we got those big bats in there on the left side with Atlanta. So I thought the number was a little bit too short. I think it's out to 125 now. It was 120 overnight. Yeah, I mean, you can still find 122 actually at FanDuel. So that's not very far off from where I got it. That's definitely very bettable.
Back to the Tigers for a second, because I know a lot of people jumped on our Tigers most wins month of August at 60-1. So with the sweep at the hands of the White Sox, which again goes well beyond our bet into, oh boy, that's not good for our division hopes, talking about the Tigers. And certainly now puts them on the outside just by a game of the wild card situation in the wild card picture in the American League. But here's the lineup of the rest of the games here. Here's the remaining schedule for the Tigers the rest of the way. They got 3 starting today, as Matt just talked about, at Pittsburgh. Then it is 3 at Kansas City. That will conclude the rest of the easy part, the easy in quotes part of the schedule. But they're all on the road. But the Tigers, for us to compete here, because we're 3 wins behind the Padres, and then there's a bevy of teams in between the Tigers and the Padres, you got to go at least 5-1 or 6-0.
Need
games.
This one today, too.
Got to have this one.
I mean, again, this is a guy they had thrown back into the bullpen because they didn't want him to start. So, you got to get this one today.
Got to get this one. Got to go at least 5-1 or 6-0, 5-1 minimum in these next 6 games. Then it gets hard. But they are at home, at least. That's the consolation. But it's 3 against the Dodgers, and then it's 3 against the Rays before they close out with 1 at Minnesota to end the month. So you've got to capitalize here. Still enough, just enough runway for them to make up for that horrible weekend of baseball. But if you don't get on the horse right now, we're toast. There's just too many
teams.
Get
it today. This guy's hittable.
Yeah. Let's do it. Coming back, let's talk some NFC South. Oh boy, I might be wrong about another team besides the Commanders already. Coming back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Matt Brown in for the vacationing, Kelly Midland. Ahoy, says Matt. Danny Higgins, Danny, did a great job of finding our MLB futures draft yes. place, since you were in that one as well.
That one came through. That one didn't get caught in the cloud. Yeah. That one did.
I'm looking, if McConnell wins Rookie of the Year in the American League, which is likely, not guaranteed, but likely, I'm looking like I could be up a few units here in all this. Okay, Orioles division winner, eh. Pennant winner and World Series winner, Rangers, I'm just going to count those as losses. I suppose technically they're still alive, right? But those are losses. White Sox over is a winner. Guardians under, trending as a winner. J-Rod, AL MVP, no. NL MVP, Jackson Merrill, no. AL Cy, Tarik Skubal, no. NL Cy, Zach Wheeler, no. But Rookie of the Year, Kevin McGonigal, 9-1.
Mm-hmm.
And then Manager of the Year, Mark Kotze, that's not going to happen. So if you put all that in the wash, it ends up being like three units up. So that's not going to win it. But at least I comported myself.
Well, okay. I guess it'll just depend on if anybody hits any of these other any other futures, right? Because I mean that's a good hit to like offset the other stuff.
How do we do, sir?
I killed two pitchers. I'm sorry. Hunter Green going down for his second Tommy John, and Cole Reagan's heading for his so as well. So both of the Cy Youngs heading towards Cy Youngs here. DeLauder looked like it was a good one to begin the season. And then he got hurt, and so, again, sorry. I don't know what to do there. It's going to be a sweat on the Yankees, so they're at 69 wins. So it's going to be a sweat on them.
Sweat.
The under 90.5 wins is going to be a sweat on that one. Not going to get there on the Orioles. World Series winner for the Red Sox could be. That could still be. So that one's live, at least. 16.
Well, it's live.
Division winner, no go. I killed Vladimir Guerrero Jr.'s career, AL MVP.
Nicely done.
Killed his career as well.
Oh, my God. Shohei might not even get there. Remember how confident you were with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Shohei MVP, sitting there probably. I mean, I think he's going to have to come back and pitch a couple of games at the end of the season to lock it up.
Like, I think that's the plan, I think. Yeah.
I mean, he's throwing. What if? And I'm being serious when I say this. Like, I know sometimes we just throw what ifs out there to, you know, get reactions and things. But with the way that Diaz is struggling, what if you ask him to close for you? He throws 100.
Not the worst idea in the world.
He throws 100.
Yep.
I mean, it's not like he can go out there and just go max effort for an inning. You know, I mean, like, and you probably feel better about that as well.
Was that Edwin Diaz quote real? You could never tell today if it's AI or real, where he's like, oh, yeah, well, I was with the Mets for 7 years. So, like, he kind of blamed them for his performance. Since you bring up you ruining Cole Reagans and Hunter Green, we should pour out a 40 for Tommy John himself. Tommy John, who the surgery is named after. Imagine your legacy, your biggest legacy, being that a surgery was named after you. Tommy John passed away this weekend at the age of 83. Tommy John, who played 12 years of Major League Baseball, then blew out his arm. There was no such thing, obviously, as Tommy John surgery at the time, until Dr. Howard Job, Frank Job came up with an innovative surgery to fix his arm. No one knew if it would work or not. He ended up, Tommy John did, playing another 14 years after that. He ends his career with the most wins for anybody who didn't get to 300. 288 career wins before he retired, most famously playing for both the Yankees and the Dodgers. Yankees multiple occasions, but 288 wins career, a 3.34 lifetime ERA. Imagine having the gumption to undergo this innovative surgery on your arm. He said when he blew out his arm, he felt like because he was left, it was in left field. Was he a left-hander?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah. That his arm was in left field because just separated from his body. The best quote about him, about the whole, you know, Tommy John legacy of it being the surgery being named after him, the ulnar repair surgery, is Tommy Lasorda, his manager in Los Angeles, saying, thank God this didn't happen to Billy Grabarkowitz. You imagine we would have to call that Billy Grabarkowitz surgery all these years? So Tommy John passing away at the age of 83, but what a unique legacy after a great career.
Yeah, I mean, we don't think about the fact, like you said, that how long he played and how many wins he had and all the stuff like that. Yes. I mean, it's always about the surgery. It was like, he was a great player.
Played 26 yeah. seasons.
And so about...
with like a million complete games, keep in mind also.
Just to kind of let you know how this, you know, reshaped the game. And this is all kind of estimates here or whatever, but about 700 guys have had Tommy John that have made it to the bigs since the 1974 surgery that Tommy John was, you know, again, so brave to have. And if you count minor leaguers that didn't make it, it ends up being up closer to 1,000. So like professional baseball players, yeah. about 1,000 different surgeries that kept careers going, because this happened in the past. Your career was over. It's done.
And the success rate of the surgery is over 90%. Yeah. Incredibly, it's going to take you a long time to come back from. But the ultimate success rate is over 90%, they say.
Just unreal.
Let's do a little rapid fire, because I promised earlier we'd talk about the NFC South. And one of the reasons we want to talk about the NFC South is, I've already said, like, after the Laremy Tunsil injury, I'm like, oh, God, Washington's just not going to be any good. I'm already directionally wrong about them. I might be directionally wrong about the Falcons, too. I thought the best line about the Falcons in the FTN almanac was Robinson, London, Pitts, right? Bijan, Drake, Kyle, awesome for fantasy, but not a cheat code for the real life win-loss column if the quarterback play remains subpar and or unresolved. And some of the comps used 2018 Giants, Saquon, Odell Beckham Jr., Evan Ingram. They went 5-11. 2022 Raiders, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, Darren Waller. They went 6-11. That's, and then you have the James Pierce suspension of 8 games. He's lucky he's even playing at all on defense. It's a bunch-up division. Bucks, Saints, Panthers, Falcons, where only the Bucks have the win total of 8.5. Everybody else is 7.5. Falcons have the longest odds, so maybe it's the best bet, but boy, it doesn't feel good right now.
So I have the bet, same deal. It doesn't feel great. I think the thing that just kind of keeps me a bit optimistic is like all of these teams could be trash, right? Like, so it wouldn't surprise me. And there's a market over on MGM where you can, like, you know, pick exact finishing positions of the different teams and stuff like that or whatever. And so I'm like, okay, it was like a little over 4-1 that the Bucks are last in the division. I'm like, would that honestly surprise anybody? You know what I mean? Like, would that surprise anybody if they were last in the division? We assume that Shuck can play. Gil, he might. We don't know. It's a tiny sample size.
Yeah.
It's a tiny sample size. He might not be any good.
He went 4-1 over the Saints' last 5 starts. Tyler Shuck, that is 5-4 in his 9 starts. Remember, after the Saints started 2-10 last year. He's older than Trevor Lawrence, by the way,
yeah.
who is entering his 6th NFL season. Now, that's a double-edged sword because his age and experience perhaps allows him to process the game faster than a normal rookie would. But the downside of that, Matt, is you're probably not going to get the developmental leap of a younger player.
Right.
So he kind of is what he is based on that.
And if you look at the Panthers, I mean, again, fine way to close out the season for Bryce Young. Maybe Bryce Young figured it out. Maybe he started to figure it out, and maybe he will take some sort of step forward here, but I'm not betting on that either. So I guess where I'm going, long story short with this, is I'm on the same bet you are. I don't love it, but at the same time, I think because of how mediocre I think any of these three teams could be, I'm not as upset that the bet is in my account. But certainly one of those deals where if you look at it and from top to bottom, if you put all these teams in a hat and you pulled them out and you said, okay, this was the finish 1-4, I think it could make sense.
Couple other notes. Carolina, who you just brought up. According to DVOA, Panthers last year, the 10th worst team to ever make the playoffs. And if you're one of those kinds of teams, historically, those overperformers, you don't really necessarily get back to the playoffs. In fact, in that category, the only teams that have come back to get back in the playoffs the following year, Andrew Luck, Matthew Stafford, and Peyton Manning were their quarterbacks. And then Kelly, if Kelly was here, he'd scream, we don't even know if Bryce Young's any good, right? Back to Tyler Shuck for a second, because I'm fascinated by the Shuck love this offseason. So he posted a 75.6% adjusted accuracy rate, which was 12th among 36 quarterbacks with at least 200 attempts. He was also 12th with 2.45% turnover-worthy play rate. But he completed only 25.6% of his throws traveling at least 20 yards. This is courtesy of Aaron Schatz. 34th among 36 quarterbacks. And he took a sack on 8.2% of his dropbacks, 28th of 36 qualifying quarterbacks, despite the fact that he faced the fifth lowest pressure rate. So,
yeah. And how about this? Those five games you talked about, that 4-1 stretch, the pass defenses were 28th, 25th, 30th, 27th, and then there was 113th. But like bottom feeders, not exactly, except for one.
Not exactly the Legion of Boom, in other words. Yeah, I'm with you on the division, though. Throw them up in the air and who knows? Yeah.
Whatever lands, sure, make the bet.
No, I can't imagine anyone would have deep conviction about the order or be shocked at whatever order results. Adam Burke will join us. We're going to do a heat check on the MLB awards as well. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.